Maddie, you do awesome. So you guys can take the Bibles. If you need a Bible, hold your hand up. They'll see you. They'll get it to you. And if you don't have a Bible, you can have that. And then this is Rob Nelke next to me, who helps a lot with the new believers here at the church. And we were backstage praying. And, you know, it's interesting as we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit today. Rob prayed this prayer. Rob's the other Rob. You were also in ministry for how many years? So there's two Robs here that have been in ministry for a long time. And Rob prayed out this prayer, and I could sense, as we're talking about the gifts, I could sense it was a word for our body. It's a word of, I believe, of exhortation, a word perhaps of prophecy. Rob, share what you prayed.
So my father-in-law has the best toolbox that I've ever seen. He's got every tool for every job, and they're all neatly organized, and they're all in their own drawer. That is not my toolbox. Every time I go to do a project around the garage, I spend about a half hour looking around at what I have, seeing what I can MacGyver to try to get the job done. I've used a hacksaw instead of a jigsaw, and I've used a screwdriver for just about everything that you can use a screwdriver for. Some of you are nodding. You understand my dilemma. So I was working in the garage on Saturday, and I was trying to fix this fishing rod holder that I've had for a couple of years now that I haven't been able to fix because I've never had the right tools to do it, and I didn't know how to do it, so I tried bungee cords, I tried tape, I tried everything to get this thing to hold the rods upright instead of falling over. Well, I finally had an idea, and I fixed it, and I'm trying to remove some screws, and I don't have the right screwdriver. So I'm looking around, I try one screwdriver, doesn't work, I try another, I just strip the screws, so it's stuck in there, so I just left it. And I thought, I never have the right tool. And as we were praying, I was thinking about, you know, the church is kind of like a toolbox. Every one of us is gifted in some way that God can use us to do amazing things, to serve others, to minister to others. And sometimes, you know, when God goes to the toolbox, that's the church, some of the tools are just maybe not there. They're not activated to serve. And the job gets done, but then those that are chosen to do it because the right tool isn't there are like my screwdriver. That's got all kinds of nicks and chips because I've used it as a hammer. I've used it as a weed puller. It's not as efficient. It's not as effective. The job gets done. But what would the jobs around my house look like if I had the right tool for every job like my father-in-law?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Thank you so much. And what do you do in second service, Rob? Hang out, okay? We have two services, so we need your tool, second service. No, I think it's just a good word as he was praying it, and you'll see how it fits together with the gifts we're talking about. And I think a lot of times the work gets done at church, but it doesn't get done the way it could get done if the tool was activated. So it's a powerful picture, and I hope you have the half sheet in front of you. If you don't have that, you can actually get up from your seat and come get one even as we're talking, or go back and get one so you can follow along with us as we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're in this series, we've talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you didn't hear that one, you can listen to the first message. The second message, we talked about the person. Last week, that might be one of the most transforming messages for me personally is understanding the person of the Holy Spirit and what it means to walk with the Holy Spirit the way that Jesus walked with the disciples. And then this morning we're going to talk about the gifts. Actually, the next 2 weeks, now that I know, leading up to Pentecost Sunday, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we'll bring up 1 Corinthians 12. And you can see on your sheet there is 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to just read verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. It is interesting. A couple times Paul says he doesn't want us to be ignorant. And the couple times he says that, the church is almost totally ignorant of the very things Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant about. And so this verse means Lord wants us to understand. Paul wants us to understand the gifts. He doesn't want us to be uninformed about them. It could even be translated, he doesn't want you to err because you don't know what the word says about the gifts. We don't want to err, but we want to be walking in truth. And we'll bring up this picture. And I believe it is, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is a word God put in my heart. A word of prophecy, perhaps, coming from God's heart, or a word of knowledge that maybe speaks to someone. You'll go like, oh, yeah, that picture that Rob put up, that's me. And what the pendulum represents on a subject like the gifts of the Holy Spirit is, if you see the pages there, the pages of Scripture clearly teach about the gifts. But sometimes as believers and in some circles, because there can be a lot of emotionalism or a lot of experience that starts to get away from Scripture, maybe a little what is called charismania, as things get a little wild, people get like, whoa, 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 I'm not comfortable with that at all. So I'm going to move away from Scripture. The church seems to sometimes overcorrect. If there's weirdness there, I'll just come over here where it's really safe, and I'll just close the door on the things of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And I just think that's a word that I think God's cautioning someone. Don't make that error. Understand. Don't be ignorant of. Don't err when it comes to the spiritual gifts. So we'll put up on the screen spiritual gifts. The Greek word I show you there is the word in the New Testament, charisma. And that's why I said a minute ago, sometimes churches can get into charismania, kind of wild behavior that crosses the line of Scripture. They're no longer tethered to Scripture, and they're operating in all kinds of experience that even sometimes is unbiblical. But spiritual gifts, a charisma comes from that root word charis, which is grace. Right? Any gift that any of us have, it's grace. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. For whatever God's purposes are, He gives you a gift. And these gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to believers. And I might even say, I wanted to put in there, very, very ordinary believers. So often the gifts are in operation in people that are just ordinary, everyday people, not special people. And there's a purpose we're going to read in the Scriptures. There's two things we find in the Scripture for edifying, or the building up, or the strengthening of the body of Christ, the church. You have this gift so the church will be built up. And when you're not using your gift, the church isn't built up. Churches stay smaller. Churches stay weaker. Churches stay ineffective because your gift isn't being used. And the other thing we find in Scripture is you're given this gift that when you're using it, people glorify God. They're like, oh, Lord, thank you for using that person. And that way, it's touching me, and you glorify God for the way He has given them that gift. And let's just look at those two points, the purpose of the gifts. We find in 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so, you, since you're zealous for gifts, the Corinthian church, they were really eager, they were really excited about the gifts, but Paul makes sure that they know, let it be, the purpose of the gifts are, let it be for the edification of the church. So we gave that definition a minute ago. That's the purpose of the gifts. That's what we see in the Scriptures. And then for the glory of God, 1 Peter 4:10. And all these notes are online if you want to look back after the morning. 1 Peter 4:10, and I think this is important, as each one has received a gift. So each of us, the Scriptures say, has a gift. Minister it to one another. And so we're to use our gift. We're to minister it. The opposite of ministering it would be that you're not ministering it. You're not using it. Maybe because you're not even aware of it. My purpose the next 2 weeks is that you would leave and you would go, I actually know what my gift is, and I'm now seeking the direction that I'd be using my gift. Where can I use it? Minister it to one another. This is one of the many one another's in the New Testament. Our gifts are for one another as good stewards. So if you're not using your gift, you wouldn't be a good steward, you'd be a bad steward. God's given you something, but you're not using it. It's just lying there, or it's lost, or it's hidden, or it's buried. And so you're to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Again, you don't deserve it. It's grace. If anyone speaks, so there's a lot of, these verses are kind of overarching. A lot of the gifts involve speaking, as we're going to go over all the gifts the next 2 weeks. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, or God give you the confidence to speak it from him. Speak it out. Well, I don't know if that prayer was meant to be for the whole church or it was just being prayed. No, we believe God that it's for the whole church. Speak it out. Speak it in such a way that the people will hear it and be able to be edified. And I know it did speak to you this morning. And so let him who speaks any of those gifts speak out like God's speaking through you. If anyone ministers, or ministers means serves. Again, this is an overarching verse. There's many of the gifts where we serve. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. It's not you. God will give you the ability. God will give you the strength. That in all things, and here's what we're looking at, the purpose of the gifts, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at the handout. Look at your handout, and as we go through the main passages on the gifts, our purpose today is not going to be to teach on all of them, but we're going to focus in on tongues and prophecy, because there's so many questions about tongues and prophecy. But let's get familiar, and as you see the check boxes there, maybe as we read through these lists, if you are interested in, maybe you could underline it. If you think you have the gift, you could check the box. Maybe you want the gift. You put some type of mark there that I'd really like to have that gift, Lord. And then you can be thinking the next 2 weeks, what gifts do you have? And then maybe write down a name or two of someone in your life, your house church, your circle, your marriage. What let them speak into your life. So I want you to think of any names that come to mind who you might ask who, what gifts do you see in my life? So that's going to be the assignment the next 2 weeks. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12:7. And here we read the same thing again, now in a different text. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. We all have a gift. What's the purpose of it? The profit of all. The whole body profits when we're all activated. The whole body suffers if we're not using our gift. For, and here we go. Now we're going to start listing the gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom. We'll come back on all of these and define them next week. One is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another there's a gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, which we're going to spend time on today, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. And what's, you read the last three words out loud. As he wills. It's not our will. It's not Pastor Rob's will. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. And this comes off of last week that the Holy Spirit is a person and he has a will. Holy Spirit is a person and he has a will. Let's look at the next main passage, Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. As you understand the scriptures we've read twice now, we each have a gift. And it's because of God's grace you have a gift or gifts, plural sometimes. And it let us use them. This is now repeated over and over again. If you have a gift, it's to be used. So we want to discover our gift. And the purpose of the next 2 weeks isn't just to discover our gifts, but Lord, how can I be using those for the body, for others, for your glory? If prophecy, which we're going to talk about this morning, and then you'll want to remember this, and we'll put it up a second time, but it can be just stewing in your understanding now as we read it. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. It takes faith, we'll talk about. Another gift, ministry or serving, let us use it. Again, the gifts are no good if you don't use them. If you look through this and you're like, wow, I have actually three gifts. Well, they're no good if you don't use it. You have to use it. In our ministry, he who teaches and teaching, that's another gift. Exhorting is another gift. He who gives, next week we'll talk about with liberality. There's a gift of leading. Lead with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then let's look at another passage, Ephesians 4:11. And he, this is Jesus, he himself gave some, and literally the Greek language is Jesus gives these gifted men to the church. They're not gifted in and of themselves, but they've been gifted by God to play these roles in the church. Apostles, we'll talk about next week. Well, what is an apostle? Some prophets, which have this gift of prophecy, which we're talking about today. Some have, we're all called to share our faith, but some we see, wow, there's really a gift of evangelism at work in their life. It's remarkable the way God uses them. That's a gift. That's a gifted member given to the body of Christ. And then it's interesting, all these words have the word some in front of it. Some pastors, but it's not some pastors, some teachers. In fact, the word between pastors and teachers is not in the Greek. It's just some of them are pastor teachers. That's how a pastor pastors his church. He teaches the word of God, and that's how they're fed. And the pastor teacher specifically, all these gifted men play a role, but specifically the pastor teacher equips the saints, and the saints are to do the work of the ministry. So the church isn't a few people ministering. That's a really unhealthy church. Yeah, I just come here and a lot. They do a great job. That's unhealthy. But where the pastor teacher is equipping the saints, then we all get involved in a work. Well, that's a healthy church. That's a multiplying church. That's a sending church. That's a growing church. That every member, it says a few verses later, does its share, its part. And so we'll read yet another passage, 1 Corinthians 12:27, as we're getting this background. And then we'll come to our first gift of prophecy that we're going to look at today, and then tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We're all different, fingers and knuckles and toes and elbows and knees and thighs. We're all part of this body, members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. There's those with this gift of helps, gift of administrations, and now this is interesting, variety of tongues. It's the last gift listed. And I just think that's significant because some try to make tongues the most significant gift. If you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. Actually, it's the least of all the gifts. It is a gift. It can be a sign of the Holy Spirit working in your life, but it's not the sign. And then, again, it would just be so wrong to say the only evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, because look at what we're going to read. You'd never come to that conclusion just reading the scriptures. Are all apostles? Well, no, of course not. We'll learn what apostles are next week. Do all, are all prophets? No, of course not. Are all called to be teaching the church? Certainly not. Are all workers of miracles? No, I don't see that in the body. Do all have the gifts of healings? Nope, they don't. Do all speak with tongues? What would be the answer? No, some have that gift, not all. Do all interpret? No, but earnestly, so here's a good word for us, earnestly desire. And I'd really like you to check your heart to your walk with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is it possible you've swung on the pendulum away from this and this doesn't describe you, that you're earnestly desiring the best gifts? Because the Lord wants you to seek a work of the Holy Spirit. Seek God for the gift that he wants to give you, that the Holy Spirit wills to be in operation in your life. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. Well, what's the more excellent way? Well, that's the end of chapter 12, and chapter 13 begins if we were just going through the Bible. And the Corinthians got so excited about the gifts. They got all into themselves and the gift they had and that they need. You know, and sometimes churches get like that. I need to be using my gift. And whenever you hear that as a pastor, the little red flag goes up. I need to be using my gift. Well, the more excellent way is love. And that, you know, that great chapter, the next chapter 13 starts. Even if we have all the gifts, but we don't have love, we're just this clanging gong. We're just noise, the annoying noise. The gifts have to flow out of a deep love for each other. That's the more excellent way. And so we're going to now talk about, and it's how the way then after chapter 13, chapter 14 begins, and we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 14:1 as we talk about the gift of prophecy a little deeper this morning and a little deeper on the gift of tongues. And then I'll just reiterate it one last time. Next week, we'll go over all the gifts and we'll define all the gifts. But let's read 1 Corinthians 14:1. As we read these first five verses, I'm going to purpose not to talk about tongues this time through it. I'm going to talk about prophecy, and then we're going to read it a second time with the different lens of talking about tongues. So let's first talk about prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, comes after chapter 13. This love, that is the love chapter, pursue that. Man, you want that. There can't be a healthy use of the gifts if there's not first love. It has to. You're the work of the Spirit flows out of love. Pursue love, but it's not just love or the gifts. Just like it's not the word or the gifts, it's love and the gifts. Pursue love and desire. So this is where we put ourselves next to the scriptures. This should be you. You're desiring the gifts that God, the Holy Spirit, wills to give you. And if there's any gift you're desiring, according to Paul, it's especially that you may prophesy. As we read through all these, you especially want to seek, desire, ask, be open to exactly what we did today. With Rob, get him before the body. Get him speaking the heart of God to the body the way that he did. And we'll talk about this. We'll define prophecy more in a minute. Let's keep reading. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. We're focusing on prophecy, verse 3. He who prophesies... So this becomes really central to you understanding the gift of prophecy. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. This is how you know there's a gift of prophecy in operation. You're sensing something from the Lord. You're wanting to communicate to the body, to the person you're praying with, to the person you're, writing to, the person you're interacting with, however, the person you're teaching, like I'm teaching this morning. And there's this desire to share something that edifies, or it could be translated builds up or strengthens. Well, if you're speaking something that's building up and edifying and strengthening the people of God, that's prophecy. If you're speaking a word of exhortation, kind of like I'm speaking today, I'm pulling on you to know your gift. I'm exhorting you. I'm encouraging you strongly. If you have this gift, don't just let it lie there. That's a gift of prophecy and comfort. Whenever you're sensing a word, oh my goodness, I just need to get hold of this person and this terrible tragedy has happened in their life. I just know I have God's heart for them. I want to communicate to them. I have this verse for them. I have this heart for them. I have what I've gone through and I just want to love on them. Well, that would be a gift of prophecy of such a desire to comfort. And so verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. If someone speaks in tongues and you hear them just going on in a spiritual language, blah, 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 you don't understand anything. There's no edification for you. But if he or someone else would say, listen, this was the interpretation, then you'd go, oh, well, it's not necessarily saying that tongues is greater than prophecy. It's just saying then tongues would be just as edifying as prophecy because people would understand. More about tongues in a minute. You say, yeah, Robert, you really got my attention with the blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's coming. Romans 12:6, let's talk a little bit more about prophecy. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. And this is so important now, in proportion to our faith. So Rob prayed backstage in a prayer, and I could sense, oh my goodness, I know that's the Lord's heart for this body. He's showing us a picture of what he wants for this body. And I tapped on Rob. I said, hey, and his wife Shannon looked at me when I asked, would you be willing to get up in front of the church and share that today? And what did Rob say? Yes. It takes faith. He had to choose. Oh, Rob, I couldn't do that. Yeah, God's given me that. It's a wonderful picture, but I don't even know if that's him or me. But he exercised faith. He spoke something that I believe is a very accurate picture of the church today, that there's a lot of tools. So we're just kind of lost in the garage. But we're doing a lot of work around here with tools that aren't meant to do that. We're getting it done. But how different it would be if you were activated. It takes faith. It takes faith to say to someone, you know what, I just met you, but I really sense God's heart for you. I don't know why. Hope this comforts you. I'm going to speak it out. It takes faith. One of the women in our church wrote me, and she said, you're rubbing off on me. I was in Walmart, and I saw this lady, and she didn't have money, and I bought her the Gatorade, and I interacted with her, and then I got in my car, and the Lord was saying, go back and pray for her. And she goes, and I did it. I went back, and it takes faith, right? She goes, I don't know which was louder, your voice in my head or the Holy Spirit, and I took that as a compliment. But it takes faith. None of the gifts can be in operation without faith. In fact, I don't know anyone who's ever exercised a gift of the Holy Spirit without thinking, "What? This is crazy. I'm making this up." But you're not. It's the Lord. He's giving you something. And sometimes it's good to ask the question, is this the devil? Well, this definitely isn't the devil to share this story about the toolbox. Is this my flesh wanting to get up in front of the church and share the story about the toolbox? It's not my flesh. You know, we kind of realize, it's. Am I making it up? No, I prayed it. God gave it to me. It's the Lord. But it takes faith for us to speak it out. 1 Corinthians 14:32, and this is such an important passage, and I am just kind of cherry picking through the chapter, but the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Boy, how important it is that this needs to be read. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Where there are things going on that is just utter chaos and confusion, that's not the Spirit. God is a God of peace. And you know, somehow in what is called charismania, people lose control of themselves. But I will pull up on the screen. What's Galatians 5:23 say? Right? The fruit of the Spirit's not loss of control. When the Spirit's really moving, you don't lose control of yourself. And to be really fair to people, I think sometimes people that come from these type of circles, it's more of a learned behavior. If they really start to sense the Spirit moving, they're going to fall over. They're going to fall down. They've learned that that's when you are really a spiritual person. You're losing control. And then that scares all the rest of us. Well, I don't want to operate a gift. I mean, is the Spirit just going to take over and I'm not going to be in control anymore and I'm going to do something weird? And so, Rob, I'm really backing up from this subject, but let's go back to our verse. 1 Corinthians 14:32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You're in control. You're never out of control. If anything, the control you're exercising is, will I cooperate or not? Now I'm too afraid to cooperate, or I'm doubting, so I won't cooperate, or I don't have the courage to speak it out, so I'm not going to be part of what the Spirit is doing. And 1 Corinthians 14:39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and I think this is really important, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So we're going to move into the subject of tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So we want to be careful that in the story, we're not the person standing against the gift of tongues, because we're uncomfortable. The pendulum has swung. The word do not forbid could also be translated withstand. Be careful that you're not the person withstanding the work of the Spirit when it comes to tongues. Some people have that gift, and it shouldn't be something that we want to see end. We should want to see it practiced in a beautiful, biblical way. And then just that last sentence, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, this is a proof text for those that come from very wild circles. You say, how could that be a proof text for those that come from charismania, where there's just experiences reigning? Well, they underline the first words, let all things be done, right? That's how they get there. Let everything be done. Well, I guess that is biblical. Let everything be done. That would be a very poor interpretation of that verse. The teaching is what is being done. It should be decently and in order, not undecent and not out of order, not breeding confusion, not breeding a lack of control, but self-control. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, just the last verse on prophecy. Do not quench the Spirit, we learned last week. And don't despise prophecy. Yeah, I just don't like that. Can we just have the Word of God? I don't need these people sharing about their toolboxes. I just want the Word of God. I had a man once at our church. He says, I don't want to hear anything about rivers or streams or clouds or sun or oceans. I just want the Word of God. Well, that's despising prophecy. Sometimes God wants to speak, and he is very creative. And so maybe even ask yourself the question, well, do I find God in the Scriptures talking about all kinds of illustrations and all kinds of everyday pictures that people understand? You say, well, you actually do, from cover to cover. Most of us are very visual. So a picture like the toolbox is like a window that you can look through and go, oh, I can see now what the gifts are all about because of the picture. It's a window to understanding. Okay, so let's move from the gift of prophecy. A little bit more about the gift of prophecy next week, but let's move to the gift of tongues. And we've already said the gift of tongues is not the only evidence of someone baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we went over that week one. That would be a conclusion that circles do come to. I don't believe it's a biblical conclusion. We saw today, it's one of the gifts. It's the least or the last gift in the church, not the first and greatest. And let's read again our passage, 1 Corinthians 4. And this time, we'll put it on a different lens, and we won't be looking at prophecy, but we'll be looking at tongues. So again, 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. It's all got to flow out of love. And desire spiritual gifts. Seek spiritual gifts. You should want gifts in your life. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now we're going to look at tongues. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Isn't this interesting? When you're praying in a tongue, some churches give messages in tongues. That's charismania, because it goes past scripture. There are no messages given in tongues. Tongues is speaking, not, you read it. What is tongue speaking to? Not speaking to man, it's to God. Tongues is prayer to God. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And I put Jude 1:20, that you're building up your most holy faith when you're praying in the Spirit. So you say, Rob, that goes against your definition earlier. You said the gifts are for the edification of others and the body and for the profit of all. This is the only gift that edifies self. So it's a very powerful gift that builds up your most holy faith when you have this gift of speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. But he who prophesies edifies the church, where, again, if you're speaking in tongue, you're speaking to God, your spirit is, we're going to read in a minute, is praying, and you're built up, you're strengthened, you're edified, even though you don't understand what's being said. Verse 5, Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. So I shared a couple of weeks ago, I pray in tongues almost every day of my life. I was on my mountain bike thinking about sharing this with you, and I was just rehearsing this, that when do I pray in tongues? It's usually when I'm overwhelmed. It's the greater need I'm in, the greater dilemma I'm in, the more help I need, and I don't know how to pray. But it's so beautiful to have the gift of tongues where your spirit is praying. You're praying to God. Your spirit is communicating with God, which we're going to read in the next verse. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I that's not only the way I'm going to pray. I'll also pray with understanding, where I pray, and I just like we all pray. Praying out loud or praying, silently or, with another person. And also, what's the conclusion? I'll sing with the Spirit. That's so beautiful. If you have that gift that, a lot of times when I'm riding my bike, I'll just sing in the Spirit. Sometimes in church services, I will depart from the words that are being sung and I'll just begin to sing in the Spirit. And it's beautiful that I don't know what my spirit is singing to God, but my spirit just begins to communicate with God. And we go to yet another verse, 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So this is interesting. Paul seemed to believe that this gift was so alive in his life that he was probably practicing it more than anyone. So it was a very central, wouldn't you conclude that? It was very central to this man that gave us the majority of the New Testament. This man that God used, probably in the greatest way next to Jesus Christ, the gift, it really validates this gift. That in Paul's life, it was central to his prayer life. Yet in the church, so this becomes that phrase in the church, what these chapters in Corinthians are all about. It's how we're behaving in the church, specifically the church service. In the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So if I speak 10,000 words in tongues and you hear me, blah, 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 1,000, blah, 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 5,000, and you listen for the next 10 minutes, you go, I'm so ready to leave. I didn't understand any. Yeah, I'm glad Rob was built up. I didn't understand anything. That's what Paul's saying. I'd rather just speak 5 words that you understood and you went, oh, so good. In the church. So as you study this chapter, what you really learn is that the primary place for tongues is in your prayer closet, in your private life. If it is going to be at church, you learn in these chapters that in those times you should allow for interpretation, that everyone can, there's a gift where it, the interpretation can be shared, and then everyone goes, oh, wow, how beautiful was that? Wow, that person prayed out. I didn't understand anything. Oh, the interpretation. My soul clings to God. My soul adores you. My soul waits on you. Oh, my Lord, step by step, you're leading me through this valley. And you hear the interpretation. You're like, oh, my gosh, that was so beautiful to get to hear what their spirit was praying. Then that would be edifying. That would be something that in the church would be beautiful. And then 1 Corinthians 12:31, earnestly desire the best gifts. So what are, if I'm to be seeking the best gifts, what are the best gifts? Well, if you're praying in your prayer closet, walking and praying, fasting and praying in tongues would be the best gift, that you could pray with understanding and you could come to the end of yourself and your spirit would pray, your spirit would sing. You want to seek that. You want that gift. You want to ask for that. You want to desire that the rest of your life. You're like, no, I don't. I don't want that. Well, why? Because it's weird. Well, maybe what you've seen is weird, and that's why you've swung. And you need to come back to biblical, that this would be a beautiful thing, would it not? I mean, if your spirit could communicate with God, wouldn't you want that? Nod your head yes. Little exhortation, gift of exhortation. Nod your head yes. You're like, it's too scary for me. Too scary. God's going to let something weird happen to me. And so Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, is your Father going to give you something weird? It's a serpent or a rock? No. So we earnestly desire. If you're part of a VBS and there's 200 kids there, what would be the best gift? Well, it sure be great to have a gift of evangelism so those little kids could get saved. Sure be wonderful if someone had a gift of teaching so we could teach those little kids. Boy, I hope there's a gift of administration being operated that we can control all the little kids and where they're going and what's happening. That it's not confusing, but in, you know, but there's peace. There's all kinds of gifts of leadership and serving. All kinds of gifts could be used. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Let me just say a little bit more, just give you a little snapshot in what we see with speaking in tongues. In Acts 2:11 at Pentecost, that all the different nations that were in Jerusalem heard the prayer meeting. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone was speaking out in tongues, and they heard them speaking the mighty works of God. Perhaps a man went out on the balcony of the prayer meeting, and he just began to cry out in a language, and another person in the city heard, I hear him in my, wow, yeah, I'm from a land far away, and that's my tongue. Maybe another guy went down the staircase, and he was standing in the street praying, and another person heard him praying in his tongue. Maybe someone came up the stairs, and there on the porch, someone was praying out loud, and they heard their tongue. Whatever the scenario was, we hear them speaking the mighty works of God. Acts 10:46, where Cornelius' house was baptized with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, we're told they were magnifying God. So what is tongues? It's speaking not to men but to God. It's speaking the mighty works of God, magnifying God. And of course, we saw 1 Corinthians 14:2, I'm repeating myself, he is speaking to God, not to men. So, the gift of tongues. I'll share a little bit more in just a minute, and that'll be the morning, the time that we have. But I want to bring up Ephesians 4:11, and this is just to kind of segue into the next thing I'm going to share. But we saw this, he gave some to be apostles. We'll define this next week, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I bring that up to just, as we're talking about this gift of tongues and prophecy, I thought maybe I would just finish with sharing my God story. I like that. My God story. We all have a God story. And my God story is as soon as I got saved, to the best of my ability, looking back 34 years now, there was an immediate call on my life, gift in operation of evangelism. Do we all have the same gift? We don't, but man, just immediately I bore that heart. I was an electrician. I'd go in all these homes. I'd be leading people to Christ. I was at the electrical warehouse. I'd be leading men that were working behind the counter to Christ. Just everywhere I went, that heart just pulsated in me. And here we are 34 years later, right? But it pulsates in me. Our church, the size of our church, I'm aware there's people unsaved every week. A lot of Sundays I sit on my deck and I think, I should have just called one more time. I should have worded it this way. I should have asked this. Right? It's an evangelist. You're always aware of unsaved people. Your heart is breaking for unsaved people. Maybe you're called to be an evangelist. Well, my God story is, and we can bring up the gift of tongues. I was just a couple years old in the Lord, and I was at a church. I knew nothing about the gifts, nothing. But I was at a church where they had their leaders up in front, and they gave an opportunity and a very similar teachings like I'm teaching you for people to have hands laid on them. And we see in the New Testament with the laying on of hands, sometimes gifts are given. And they gave an opportunity. I couldn't get up there fast enough. Like, I want that. If there's a gift the Lord has for me, I want it. And this seasoned man of God, perhaps in his 70s, very orderly, laid his hands on me, prayed quietly, maybe just loud enough so I could hear him. And then I started to speak in tongues. And I remember when it happened, I thought, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm just making that up. I heard him say those mutterings. And now I'm copying him like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. Like, what am I doing? You know, I just confused. I didn't know what was happening. Chose not to pray those words anymore after I was given those words. But I always remembered those words. And those words were, I still remember them, you know, the words Are Morishma were some of the first words I ever prayed. It's interesting, I shared that just like I shared it with you, and I was at a camp one time, and one of the leaders came up and he said, would you like to have the interpretation of those words you pray? Are you kidding? Like, you know what those words mean? I mean, I was just sharing it like I shared it with you guys. And he says, it means the Lord is my Savior. And not in the sense like he's saving you like before you were saved, but in the sense that he's your salvation in everything you go through. I go, well, that would make sense. Why? When I pray in tongues, I almost always pray, like, Lord, I need salvation. I need you to come through for me. But it's very common for people to think, you know, I'm making that up. That's me. No, I'm not going to say that. Like, what am I doing? Because my understanding's unfruitful when I speak those words out. Well, as in my God story, I think the most shocking thing to me was that God called me to be a pastor teacher. Evangelist, are you, what, Lord? You want to use me how? Like it still shocks me. I'm kind of like a spectator that I get to teach his word and equip his saints. Like that, you probably don't see that. You just see me as your pastor. But the fact that I'm up here is just like the least thing I ever thought God could do in my life. And you know, when that opportunity came, it started as a high school pastor, and it was about maybe 5+ years after I had received the gift of tongues, and I hadn't prayed those words for probably 5 years, and I was going to teach my first high school Bible study, a room full of 100 high school kids. I'd never taught before. Now I'm a high school pastor, and now I have a teaching ministry. And the room filled up, and I was praying, and I was outside, and there were long lines of school buses at this school and church I was part of, maybe 25 school buses, and kind of created an aisle down the middle of the school buses. And I was so nervous, and I was praying. And I am scared to death. I've always had a fear of public speaking and just trembling. And I'm walking through those school buses, and guess what came out? Are Morishma. And then I just prayed. I mean, just scared to death. Went in, taught the first time I taught. And I remember when I got home that night, I was like, whoa, what has happened to me tonight? And I remember laying on my bed, can I still pray that way? Ah, da, da. You know, and I'm like, whoa, I can pray that way whenever I want to pray that way. You know, next morning I woke up, can I still pray that way? Like, whoa, like what is going on? But I was so desperate. My intellect was keeping me from praying that way because I couldn't understand it. Therefore, it's just madness. But because of the great need, I was able to break through and allow my spirit to pray. Well, then comes the story of prophecy. And I don't know if we got, oh yeah, there we go, tongues and then prophecy. And we put tongues in there extra. That's okay. Tongues deserves to be in there extra. But we'll just talk about prophecy. So as a pastor teacher, I put the word cultivate because as we remember what we said that how do you identify prophecy? It's, you remember? Edification. What's the next one? 1 Corinthians 14:3. Exhortation or encouragement. And you can look back, you have the notes before you, your Bible, verse 3, comfort. And you know, you begin to cultivate this. I sense this word about the toolbox. Should I have Rob share it? Should I not have him share it? I have him share it. And, you know, 30 years ago, every single time I started to exercise that faith, what did we understand? What did we learn in Romans? He who prophesies must prophesy in proportion to his takes faith. Every time I'd exercise faith, God would bring someone to me and say, hey, I'm glad you shared that. That was for me. Or do you know over the 34 years here, 34 years married, I'm sorry, 30 years here, one of the most common things I hear is you were speaking right to me this morning. That's prophecy. Prophecy is not just foretelling, thus says the Lord in the year 2027. It's more forthtelling. Telling forth the heart of God. And people respond with, oh, he's speaking to me. That was for me. That's prophecy. And we cultivate it. And again, we think that's just me making it up. But as we cultivate it, we learn to let that gift be in operation. Let's just finish with a couple practical points. And by the way, as we've gone through this, you've got a lot of gifts you're thinking about, you can be reading about, you can be studying yourself. There's two gifts, prophecy and tongues, we've talked about. Let me just talk a little bit about how we might see the gifts in operation in our life. And we'll put up, first of all, ask and seek God for gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ask. Earnestly desire means ask. Ask. And the word more there, this comes straight out of Luke 11, if you know Luke 11. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask. Keep asking. There, one of our staff members years ago, Adam Poole, we used to always chide each other that Adam and I came to believe together that there's more of the Holy Spirit for all. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, God has more for you. Well, ask. Do you have a gift? Ask for more gifts. Do you have several gifts? Ask for a new one this year. Ask for the gifts you have to be in greater operation. But how do we receive the gifts? We ask. The second thing we will put up there is laying on of hands. Whenever there's an opportunity, today after church, people will be up here, the prayer team. This Saturday night at prayer, we'll be laying hands on people if you want to come. Whenever there's an opportunity, let people, let leaders, let elders lay hands on you. As we see in Timothy's life, it's when hands were laid on him that he was given a gift. It's when the elders laid hands on him. For the Apostle Paul, just a very ordinary guy named Ananias laid hands on him. So there's a place for just ordinary people to lay hands on each other, maybe in our house churches, also our small circles, our friends, our loved ones. Ask one another what gifts they see in you. So that's part of the assignment on the half sheet. Ask for that. Hey, honey, what do you see in my life? Or ask a friend. Be praying about that. That can be so powerful if you would ask another person that knows you what gifts they see in your life. And then last of all, we'll put up there, serve and see. You know, you can't, have you ever heard the saying, you can't steer a parked car? It's very hard to steer a parked car. But you get going a little bit, you can steer it. Start serving. Try serving different places. Maybe you try serving the children's ministry. Wow, I have such great desire to teach kids and satisfaction. And you know, I actually think they're learning when I teach. Well, that's your gift. Serve and see. Try some different things. Get involved some different places. See what God might do. And by the way, I think leaders, we have a big part in this in trying to draw out of people their gift. Perhaps even this morning with Rob, perhaps you saw that witness, like, come on, Rob, you can do it. Like, well, he's been in ministry 26 years, so doesn't pretty easy assignment. But, you know, encourage him to use that gift. Right? As leaders, we don't just use our gift. We're trying to draw that out of others. As, you know, why don't you say the prayer? Can you lead the worship song? You know, why don't you share that? I heard you say that. And we're always trying to help others discover their gift. And then we'll just finish with the evangelist, Romans 8:16. Right? We ended last week this way too, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I would just ask that there might be one person here today. And what's happening is the Spirit's still on the outside of your life, and he's pointing you to Jesus. The room here, we all have the Spirit in us. He's bearing witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you know it. The Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit. You're saved. You're his child. But you might be someone that the Spirit is doing such a work. And you being here is such a miracle. Last week was a really special week for me because a lady that was in my chiropractor's office, just a liberal Corvallisite that I just could sense God's heart for, Stonewall, but I just love on her. Years later, just kind of see her, say hi to her, love on her, Stonewall. Started to see her out in the forest during COVID. She was soft. One of the times I saw her, I laid it all on the line. I said, can I pray for you? She let me pray for her. Her son came to faith in Christ. Started coming to our church, went to our college things, got baptized. And several Sundays she's now coming, and she was, I just haven't known how she crossed the line. Last week she got saved. All these years. And you know, and I just share that to say maybe that's you. Maybe God is drawing you. Maybe you've been resisting. Maybe you're on a journey, and the next step for you is to turn to Christ to save you, and the Spirit of God is going to fill you. Let's bow our heads, and we'll have the worship team come back up. And I just want to speak, if that's you, if you're someone, you may just be one person here, and it's a remarkable work of the Spirit that's working repentance in you. And I don't know why, maybe you don't know why this morning, but there's repentance in your heart to turn from your sin and to turn to Jesus. And you can do that right where you sit and just say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. And I believe you died on the cross to pay for all of my sin, to take away all of my, listen to this, to take away all of your guilt and to take away all of your shame for what you've done. And you can say, Lord, forgive me. If that's in your heart this morning, the Spirit of God working in you, that even now the miracle is going to happen as you pray, Holy Spirit, fill me. It's what the Bible calls being born of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me and change me. And just to the best of what I know how to do this morning, I surrender to you. If you're not saved, pray that. Fill me. Been a long journey. Holy Spirit, fill me and change me. Take out my hard heart. Pray that. My heart's been so hard to God. Take out that hard heart and give me a tender, responsive heart. And if you prayed that, if this is a saving moment, just thank the Lord. This is where you exercise faith. Lord, thank you for saving me this morning. I'm just by faith going to believe that through simple faith in Christ, through repentance, through prayer, that you're saving me. Just thank him. Thank you for saving me this morning. And just while our heads are bowed, if you prayed that, would you just identify yourself? I want to pray for you. How miraculous that your heart is soft, beautiful. That you would be so tender to open your heart to God. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful that we get to witness that. Anyone else today? You were praying that. It was a saving morning. There's repentance. You want the hard heart taken out and a new tender heart. You were praying that. If that was you, just hold your hand up. It takes faith. It takes courage. But you were praying that. Yep, two of you. Anyone else? We just don't want to miss because it's probably more important than for you, three of you. Beautiful. It's probably more important for you that you cross that line. Four of you. Anyone else? You're inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you and seal you, take up residency in you, and start to change you. Salvation's a miracle of a moment. Then God will be working in your life the rest of your life to make you his. And if you raise your hand, just you pray that. Just say, Lord, I surrender to you. Fill me and gift me. And just pray it by faith and start using me. And let my life count for you. And Lord, we just pray. Let's pray as a church that they'll have the strength to be baptized, to stand for you publicly. And Lord, we pray that you give them a hunger for your word. And we pray this would be a church they could grow in, and you'll surround them with people that love them here, that they would say, I have friends here. And let's just applaud those of us.